And now for our closing session of our convention, we have Brother Duran, and the title of his topic, or the topic is How John Learned. How John Learned. Brother Duran.
First of all, I'd like to bring the greetings of the brethren in the Louisville area, especially my mother. I obviously didn't have time to do that yesterday. Let's begin by saying that none of you, I would assume at the moment, has a mind able to absorb a great deal more. So we're going to take a subject which I think has some importance to it, but which I think can probably just be a light little reminder as we go away of some of the privileges of what we have learned at this end of the age. Let's begin by looking at the end of the book of John. The 21st chapter. There are a lot of things at the end of the book of John. Of course, one of them is where Jesus was speaking with Peter, asking him if he loved him, and if so, to feed his sheep. Then finally, in verse 18, Jesus tells Peter virtually how he was going to die. He suggests very carefully there in verses 18 and 19 that Peter himself would be crucified. But do remember, this was before Pentecost, and Peter, being a human being just like all of us, his first reaction after he learned he was going to be crucified is, what about him? Pointing to John. And of course, that's not the reaction we're all supposed to have, what about him? But only what about us? So Jesus used the opportunity to leave us with a peculiar little truth. Verse 22. Jesus said unto Peter, If I will that he, meaning John, tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, I'm sure Jesus was never sorry for anything he said, being a perfect man. But having said this, it probably caused all kinds of problems in the early church. This one little verse that we've just read was probably responsible for the brethren thinking that Jesus was going to return very soon. Was probably responsible for some people preaching that the resurrection of the dead had already occurred. It was probably responsible for all kinds of early errors in the church. But that, of course, is not Jesus' point. Jesus' point was to suggest to us that the Apostle John was a picture of the church. You and me, all of us, equal John. And so Jesus could say to Peter, Does it bother you if the John class stays around until I come back? Now let's go to the book of Revelation. We're going to spend the rest of our study in the book of Revelation. And I'm sure you say to yourself, how can it be a nice, easy, relaxing subject? But it is. The book of Revelation has a lot of nice things in it that don't twist our minds. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. There's the purpose of the book. And he sent and signified it, meaning put into signs and symbols, by his angel unto his servant John. And I believe throughout the book of Revelation, John represents the church. Verses 9 and 10 of the same chapter. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. I think that sentence is suggesting that John is trying to identify himself with us and have us identify ourselves with him. And he continues, he was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So I think we can see here that John's whole perspective, even though he represents the church throughout the age, throughout the whole book of Revelation, in one respect, he most specifically represents us at the end of the age, who can look back and see exactly what happened to our brethren in the seven stages of the church. Now, our subject was how John learned. I think in the book of Revelation you find that John learned several ways. And of course the ways that John learned are the ways that we learn. So we're very quickly going to look at a couple of these and then spend a little more time on some particular ones. Revelation 4, 1. I'm not going to read much of the verse. I just want to read this much. After this, I looked. So one way that the church has learned and that John has learned is to be an observer. And you will see throughout the book that John says, I looked. And you will see throughout history that the church has indeed learned by looking. 5:1, the first three words. And I saw. Now, you know it is possible to look without seeing. But John was observant, and I think this is showing us that the church, too, as it looked and examined and prayed, did see, did perceive, and consequently learned in that manner. Now, that's not always the most successful way of learning, but it is one way that we've learned. By the way, throughout the book of Revelation, very frequently, these literal phrases, and I saw, and I looked, and I heard, mark changes in the narrative. I'm sure you realize that probably no two brethren alive interpret Revelation the same. But when we do interpret, there has to be some reason for a change. We can't say, all of a sudden, this next verse goes back 1,000 years, because that's the way we like it to be. We have to have some sort of sign throughout the book, some sort of reason for suggesting that there is a cutback and we're taking another view of the subject. And the Lord seems to have used these phrases, and I looked, and I saw, and so on, as a symbol to us that this is a new beginning in the narrative some way. Revelation 7:4. Again, just the first three words, and I heard. We are told to hear. We are told to listen carefully to the Lord's voice. And I'm sure John was much better listener than speaker, something we all should be. Now those looked, saw, and heard are all sort of as impartial observers. But sometimes John was directly addressed, not just standing aside as an impartial observer. Let's take a look at a couple of those. In the first chapter, verses 17-20. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and so on. Here John is addressed very clearly by Jesus, because Jesus does speak to the church directly ever since he spoke to his initial disciples. Terribly important. Some of the most important messages that John or we learn are when Jesus simply directs his attention to us directly. In chapter 4, the first verse, which verse we already read, but it does say more than we read. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Did you ever talk to a trumpet? Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. All right, the church has also been addressed by trumpets, messages. These have not been directly addressed to us by Jesus. But the Lord has arranged throughout the age, at certain times of need, certain messages to which we were to pay attention. And they were addressed directly to us, because if you'll notice, this trumpet speaks to John. That means we have to listen to ideas when they cross our paths to make sure the source of them. Another direct address is in chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead. Now we don't know whose voice this was, but it was a voice from heaven. Well, we might suggest who it is, but that's not our purpose here today. Heaven, of course, in the book of Revelation, is the ecclesiastical world. So this suggests that John did learn by listening to others in the ecclesiastical world. Chapter 5, verse 5. One of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and so on. In my own understanding, the elders are probably the prophecies of the Old Testament. So the John class, we, have definitely learned by a consideration of what has been written by the ancients. I hope you can see all the ways that we're learning. The object of where we're going is going to be a little more specific, but I think it's important to realize we don't always just learn by sitting down and reading a book. Chapter 10, verse 9. I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it, eat it, and so on. An unidentified angel. I don't know who it is. The point is, the Lord does use unidentified ways of teaching us. Messengers, messages, perhaps through experiences. Because an experience can be an angel from the Lord. Chapter 19. We may return to this chapter 19 later. First, verse 5, a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God. Verses 9 and 10, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper, and so on. So this particular way John learned was a voice from the throne. A throne seems to indicate some sort of position of authority, some sort of glorified position rather than an earthly one. And now I'm going to keep quiet just long enough to ask if the brethren will pass out a little handout so you can follow the rest of these points one by one. I didn't give you these handouts to start out with because I didn't want you getting ahead of the story. These handouts are very easy to understand, and as I said, we don't have to work hard to understand the lesson here today. While you are getting your handout, I will explain that everything on this handout has to do with another way that John learned, and this is introduced in the 17th chapter of Revelation, the first verse. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Now this particular fellow here first occurs, Revelation 17:1. And he keeps grabbing hold of John and pulling him aside from here until the end of the book of Revelation and chatting with him. And what we'd like to do in the rest of the time is to see what he tells John, and then perhaps you can tell me who he is. I don't think you'll have too much trouble coming to the conclusion. We will start in Revelation 17:1. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me. I like that expression. This isn't just he said to me or he told me, but he talked to me. Whoever this is loves to talk with the church, really enjoys talking with John, and John enjoys finding out what this angel has to say. So one of the first things he says is, "Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Okay, now you can start adding up your evidences here in item number one on your outline. The first thing that this angel explains to the church is the judgment and identity of the harlot. He tells us who that is. Now let's go to 17:3. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." The part we'd like to show here is that whoever this angel is, he carried us back into the wilderness condition of the church, the 1260 years when the church was in the wilderness. And he told us all about that period in some detail. Now let's go to verses 6 and 7. "And I saw the woman, drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Now that doesn't mean he was in love with this woman. This was a case of great surprise, great amazement at learning what it really represented. So, verse 7, "The angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her." So one of the third things this particular angel does is, after he's explained who this woman is, he realizes, in one sense, why we would have been amazed. Because after all, this woman was Christendom in one sense. And the John class should be a little amazed that those that have claimed to be his brethren were indeed part of something very despicable. But as these verses tell, this angel told you all about details of this prophetic mystery. You've got about three clues now. Let's keep going. Verses 15 to 18. "And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest in the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and eat her with flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Several times here in these verses we read, this angel would say, "This thing you saw equals this thing in reality." So one of the other services of this dear angel that takes us aside and talks with us is that he shows us the art of interpreting symbols. And as these verses show, he told us of some things that would come before they actually came. Let's go to chapter 21. Verse 9. "And there came unto me one of the angels which had the seven vials." See, it's been quite a long time since chapter 17. They had to name him again so we don't forget who he was. full of the seven last plagues and talked with me. So he's still talking with us. He isn't telling us. He's talking with us. Saying, come hither and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb.
Such burdens
wife.
Might well be shared with those willing
whoever
and able
angel
to share
was,
the load.
Told us that Jesus
here is where
was not
we're
alone
able to share one
to be
another's
ruler
burden.
Of the next age. He told us that Jesus was going to have a bride associated with him, and that that was the whole purpose of the calling of the church. The church wasn't called to be saved while everyone else was damned. The church was called to be the bride of Christ. And this angel apparently tells John all about that. Verse 10. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This same angel which had one of the seven plagues said, I'll tell you what, there's going to be a new city. Of course, a city is a government. So he pointed forth to the fact that there would be a new peaceful government. Let's go to verses 15 to 17. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. It's an interesting fact about this angel. He had some sort of divine power to measure, to understand the dimensions of God's plan. And the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. So this angel told us that this new city, this bride of Christ, this new government would consist of 144,000 individuals. I hope you're adding up all these evidences, because the whole conclusion of today's lesson is your job. Also in verse 17, the part that I did not read. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Now John, when he wrote Revelation, was kind enough to do that for us. He just didn't say, well, he measured this according to the measure of a man. Or he didn't say, the angel measured it. He said he measured it according to the measure of a man, that is, the angel. So there's no question that this angel is a man. Chapter 22, verse 1. This is still the same angel talking. He showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Because we've learned to interpret symbols, we realize that these are the restitution blessings that await mankind. So this angel brought to life, brought to light the fact of restitution. See how easy Revelation is to understand? All we're doing is reading verses, and I bet you're coming to the right conclusion. Let's go on, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. This angel does claim to John to say, what I have told you faithfully without putting my own interpretation on it, and I have given you the truth as I have received it. Point number 11 is from the same verse. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. He explains his purpose in the divine plan. He does not exalt himself. He simply says, I am here as a messenger. I was here to do one thing and to do one thing only, to tell you what was going to happen. And I have told the truth. Item number 12. Verse 10 of Revelation 22. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Apparently, this angel had some sort of understanding of chronology, because there's no way he could say, the time is up, the time is beginning, the time is at hand, anything like that, unless he were fully aware of what was to happen at what time. So you can add to your list here of clues that he knew in a detailed way God's chronology. Verses 8 and 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, he did what all of us tend to do. He tended to overreact. I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Now, that was a prophecy. And it's happened. Brethren have overreacted to the point of worshiping this particular angel. Sometimes they pull themselves out of that excess. Sometimes they don't. But this was a prophecy that would happen. Fortunately, this angel, as you'll notice in verse 9, does something about that. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. All right, we have 2 points shown there. He corrects our overreaction, whoever he was. And the final thing he does, which is really the primary thing he does, is he says, worship God. He's constantly pointing to the only authority upon which the church can feed. Worship God. Now, I mentioned that we might return to chapter 19. So let's do that. As we were beginning, I read in chapter 19 for you verses 5 and 9 and 10, and didn't particularly link this with anything else, because in chapter 19, you see, you really can't tell who's talking. However, now that we saw something in chapter 22, I think if we go back and read in chapter 19, we'll see something else. Verse 5, a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God. There's a similarity there to worship God. All ye his servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And now let's go down to verses 9 and 10. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Did you hear that somewhere before also? Also in chapter 22. And I fell at his feet to worship him. We just saw that, didn't we? And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of this prophecy. You notice, it's the same words. I think we can conclude that this angel in verse 19, heretofore unidentified, is the same one that's been talking to us all along. Now that we know that, we can put one more clue into our identity file here, because in verse 9, this angel explains the position and existence of the great multitude. And also in verse 10, which is a repeat from chapter 22, you notice he is really, in essence, confirming what we were told in that the angel was a man, because he says, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. So this is a man without any question. Now, we've come to your part in this. Who is this angel? Does it take that long to come to a conclusion? Gee, what makes you think so? I don't think it's escapable. I really don't. When you take note of all the things that this angel did, the reason for which he was chosen, the fact that he appears on the scene first in Revelation 17 and never before that. Revelation 17, of course, is a harvest prophecy. So this angel didn't even appear on the scene until the time of harvest. Without question, I think we have here the seventh messenger to the church. And I think it's a powerful lesson, even in all of its simplicity. Because in one sense, Revelation is a very simple book. It's just difficult because there are so many things to remember. But as we read through and see some of the lines of testimony that connect, we see how indeed our Lord has blessed us by sending an angel who takes us aside, and we just don't look, we just don't hear, we just don't see, we aren't told things. He discussed it with us. He took us aside and talked to us, and we appreciated that. And even though he was a member of the John class himself, we have tended at times to fall down and worship that angel, which he quickly corrected. We leave you with that thought until we may meet again. May the Lord bless your considerations of his plan.